morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Welcome back, Laron.
Thank you.
You were screwing around with your kid last week?
No. Trying to protect my kid. Having a new security and stuff.
Yeah, I wish I had one. The week before, my house was broken into. Back door broken down.
No.
The inner French door pounded in. Miguel's door broken down because it was locked. Yeah, mess in
Are
my
you
house.
Serious? I'm
Real
so
mess
sorry,
in my
Dave,
house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to prevent.
Well, you do that, especially since you have a 4-year-old
yes.
going on 18 to protect.
Yes, I do.
Did they steal more than just your KNON bag?
They did steal my KNON bag with all of my stuff for the radio station, but they took computers and a chainsaw. You'd think I was a lesbian.
No kidding. Wow.
I was
I'm
cutting
impressed
up.
That you own a chainsaw.
I do own a chainsaw, did own a chainsaw, and it was to cut up logs for firewood. And we had just been doing that the week before.
Erin just uses an axe.
I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine she would.
Okay, so you're going to get to have a security system installed
yeah,
now?
Yep, Good. Yep. I'm waiting for Miguel to get back from Bolivia. He's still out in the jungle.
Yeah.
So, literally out in the jungle.
Wow.
He's about 60 miles from Cochabamba. That's down an 60 miles down an unpaved road. Is where his house is.
I hope he's having fun.
Yeah, he sounded like he was. Anyway, busy dating one of the generals in the country. he is. So, anyway, we were talking last week about the inauguration, and Monday was the inauguration. You watched it?
I did.
And?
I was blown away.
What?
Am I on the air, Clint?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What impressed you the most? This one line from the inauguration
speech. The one line from the inauguration.
That everybody's talking about. I interviewed Don Lemon this week, and he was talking about it. And he was talking about how people around him were just saying, wow, did he just say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, wow.
Yeah, all you can keep saying is wow.
So what was the line?
I had that exact quote, but...
He said, we're not equal. We're not equal until our gay brothers and sisters are equal. And I thought, great, I don't have any brothers and sisters. There's just me. What about me?
Of course you would think that.
Of course, you know... So
wait, I have a brother, but he's not gay.
But he's not gay. Yeah, see, so it didn't apply to you either. Do you have a gay sister?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh. So
I have a very gay friend.
None of us.
And
Danny, thanks a lot, Obama.
And Danny has four sisters, but they're not lesbians.
And they're not lesbians, so thanks, Barack.
Yeah, thanks, Barack.
Well, I thought it was an amazing thing that he would. It's the first time a president has, acknowledged this in any way, shape, or form. And there is some controversy.
In an inauguration speech.
In an inauguration speech, yes. Which has, you know, the nation is captivated. At everything he's saying,
because
you get to hear what his plans are for the future and what direction he's taking us and all of that. And so I thought it was amazing.
Well, of course, it's one of the most important speeches of a presidency. It's the first speech of the presidency. It's spoken from the Capitol the steps. It's not really the steps, but the platform built on the steps to 1 million people, and then a worldwide audience of. Tens or is it hundreds of millions of people that were watching and saw it at some point? So, of course, it was an important speech.
And I think it was better than his first one.
Oh, yeah. I heard one commentator say, you know, this is probably really what he really wanted to say in his first inauguration.
Well, but that's common for a president in his second term, because the first term he has to... First of all, he's not as experienced in the first term.
Correct.
Anybody learns and becomes a... better at his job, if not a better president, better at his job in the second term. There's no way to train for that job.
Right. For all the arguments about, he's not experienced, I don't care who you are, to some degree, being a president is on-the-job learning.
There have only been 44 in history.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And several of those 44 weren't even available to help.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how do you learn to do... So by the second term, you don't have to run for re-election again, and you've had the experience. and you have the confidence. You won the election the second time. You know, winning the first time is kind of, wow. Second time, it's
especially
huge.
For this president.
Well, yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was the first time a biracial president has ever been elected.
Well, sure, sure. But, I mean, the first time is wow, and the second time is phew. And phew lets you say a whole lot of things, like, you know, LaRon just... When he was new on the show, he would be very careful with what he says. Now listen to his filthy mouth.
I know. Clint, make sure you got your finger on a seven-second delay button.
It's up there. His finger's on the button.
He's moving it to 20 seconds for you. Yeah.
But I thought it was really just, you know, such a powerful moment for us, and because we know that the president single-handedly can't go change any laws when it comes to civil rights, but the president absolutely can set the tone for the nation. And I just thought this was a stark contrast. I'll never forget when George Bush, the second one, held the State of the Union address, and he called for a national ban on same-sex marriage. And from that moment on, I was just, to this day, I'm furious at him about that. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, fine if you're, you know, you're personally against same-sex marriage, but for to call for something that doesn't divide, that doesn't unite people, that divides us. I thought what President Obama did in his inauguration speech was a completely different message.
And what's interesting there is, with Bush, is do you really think Bush personally is against same-sex marriage?
I don't think he cares.
So I know we've always debated about this. I think he does.
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
I think he does.
And where I got that from is his daughters have always had gay friends. One of the big controversies his first year in office was Jenna and Barbara were invited to a same-sex wedding, and they were planning on going. Yep. It didn't even occur to them not to go. This was a friend of theirs.
Right.
And if you're raised in a religious atmosphere that's so against it, your first year out of the house, you don't start going to gay weddings. I just don't think he can.
And Laura Bush has come out in favor of same-sex marriage also, mm-hmm. but...
And then at the very end of his presidency... After the election, he's sitting down for an interview, kind of his, you know, swan song out. He says he's all for civil unions.
Mm-hmm.
He thought civil unions would be great.
Would be fine, right.
You know, like, well, what the heck was that that we just lived through?
Yeah, why didn't you do that?
And the things that we got to hear from our neighbors and our, mm-hmm. you know, people around us, you know, about how what horrific people we are.
Right.
And, you know, all the health threats and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff is just unforgivable,
right.
in my view.
Right. And I agree with you on that. And I think it's worse from somebody who doesn't really believe it.
Sure. And it was all this hollow game playing for political purposes.
Well, see, that's why I think he does really believe it. Because, in terms of his daughters, just because his daughters are gay-friendly, that doesn't mean that your parents are.
You know, it doesn't necessarily, but it does say something about how they were raised.
It probably just wasn't even brought up that much in the household. But he, when he did that as his State of the Union address, he did it during his second term. He didn't have nothing to lose. It's not like he was going to run again. So it's like, that wasn't even necessary. So for me, that kind of showed me this is more than just political reasons. Mm-hmm. He must really feel that way.
Well, he wasn't giving a lot to his Tea Party, the pre-Tea Party group.
Mm-hmm. So he had to throw him something?
Uber right wing, and it was just words.
Yeah.
So, I mean, because ultimately... The attempts to pass a federal amendment and send it to the states for ratification
failed.
Of the Constitution completely failed.
Yeah. Completely,
yeah.
So I would like to point out though that of Obama's speech about that where he mentioned our gay brothers and
mm-hmm.
sisters,
mm-hmm. And not us.
Well, you know, we're simpatico as brothers and sisters universally in a spiritual sense.
Clint, our producer,
sister.
Yeah, Clint, our producer, is indicating that we're his gay brothers and sisters. Oh, he has a gay brother and sister.
Gotcha. See?
Brother or sister?
See, he was speaking to Clint.
See, come on, get on here.
No.
For clarification, gay brother or sister?
Brother.
Okay.
Okay, so he has a lesbian brother. And
but what I'd like to point out is that there are sectors of our community who are very unhappy about that speech and mm-hmm. were very offended by it mm-hmm. because he failed to include bisexual people and transgender people. Mm-hmm. And so there's some controversy there, and they're pretty upset. Mm-hmm. But I can see both sides of this. I mean, the fact is he didn't, but in breaking ground, he had an eloquence in his delivery and his chosen words that I think was not ready for LGBT or the big litany, and I think he just threw it in there as part of it, we have to
recognize he is the first president to have ever appointed to a federal appointment transgender people.
Yeah.
It's more than one.
And he's made tremendous changes in terms of executive orders that directly affect the daily lives of transgender people in a much more positive way than they've ever had before.
The other thing that was interesting about this inauguration was, first of all, the inaugural poet. Did you hear them on Fox slamming him?
No. Well, it didn't even rhyme.
Did they really?
Yes. That was the biggest critic.
Oh,
didn't even,
my God.
That was prose. That wasn't poetry.
Poor things.
Also, I didn't get to see the inaugural parade, but there were 50 entries into the parade. One of the entries was the LGBA, the Lesbian Gay Band Association. Three people from Dallas marched in that group. They performed tonight in front of the president. They performed several other things marching down the street.
They were right behind the civil rights float.
Oh, were they?
Yep.
Interesting. Interesting placement. But when I was talking to the director of the band, she said they wanted to play tonight because they liked the words of the song. You know, tonight won't be just any night.
They're performing tonight, but you mean they're performing, quote, tonight.
The song tonight.
The song tonight.
The song tonight. But they also wanted to perform that song because it was written by Leonard Bernstein, who was gay, lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, who's gay. The original show was directed by who's gay, and the book was written by somebody who was gay.
And it's a show tune.
Well, and it's a show tune, but of all show tunes, that show is probably the gayest show ever produced. Had the largest ensemble of really talented, some of the most talented people ever to write for Broadway. But that was a special song. She said she spent quite a bit of time deciding what it was that they were going to do for the president. So, I mean, that was just a great honor for them.
Well, here was another quote that jumped out to all of us and brought tears to me. Oh, I was the one I was watching it. We the people declare today that the most evident of truths, that all of us are created equal, is the star that guides us still, just as it guided our forebears through Seneca Falls and Selma and Stonewall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just thought that was so moving.
Okay, so the Fox News take on that one. They mention a civil rights march along with a bar riot.
Well, not only that, but the American Family Association dude, one of them, did his radio show and ranted because the president mentioned a hotel full of homosexuals. I thought, well, at least get your history right. It wasn't
a hotel at all.
It was a Stonewall
bar.
Stonewall Inn.
Stonewall Inn.
It's a hotel. Oh, well, you know.
It was like it reminds me of like when Kathy Adams, who was head of the GOP in Texas for a while, whale, right-wing, big old Phyllis Schlafly type, Eagle Forum, sent out an...
Who Rob Schlein beat in an election in November. I don't know if we ever mentioned that. Rob Schlein, who's the head of Metroplex Republicans, was running against her husband for
precinct chair,
and he won.
Yeah, I just think that's...
They were just
so
tired of her.
Well, she sent out a big thing, at, you know, because I subscribe, and I do that to all the right-wing stuff. And,
yes, you should.
And she's railing against Gary Fitzsimmons because he was going to hand out marriage licenses if he were elected. And they had to stop the gay from getting in that office. Well, the district clerk has nothing to do with marriage licenses. She doesn't even know. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, that hotel full of homosexuals. Get your facts right before you blurt out to a whole bunch of people, you know, how stupid you are.
That's John Warren's office.
Right. In Dallas County politics here, but, you know, it's funny.
But the Stonewall reference... I spoke to Don Lemon this week. I interviewed him. He's going to be in Denton this coming Friday at UNT. He's speaking at their diversity conference. So I got to interview him on Thursday, and what a nice guy.
And a great book.
I love
that book.
Anyway, I asked him, you know, as a black man, as a gay black man, are you offended by the use of Stonewall along with Selma? And he said no, not at all, that it was an appropriate use. He said when he's spoken to John Lewis and other civil rights leaders from that era who marched with Martin Luther King, they've said equal rights are civil rights settled. And that's the way he put it.
Oh, and John Lewis is one of my all-time favorite.
Yeah, sure, Lewis.
Sure.
He's an amazing
speaker. That's somebody
speaker.
We should have on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's work on getting him. And are you at all offended, Laurent?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. And I'm just kind of curious whether...
The conversation of gay rights compared to the black civil rights movement, I know that bothers a lot of people in the African-American community. I've never understood why.
Were they offended by the Seneca Falls reference, which is women's rights, women's suffrage?
Yeah. No.
Is that not a civil rights movement?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I don't understand.
I thought it was interesting the way Don Lemon put it. He said he was equating what we're calling and what he's calling equal rights. He's not calling that civil rights. He's calling it equal rights with civil rights, which are that whole set of laws and things that have passed for... based on racial differences. So he's calling them two separate things, and I think that's a nice parallel. And of course, they're different. They're the same, there's lots that are the same, but there are things that are different.
I think we're splitting hairs here.
I think civil rights, if you look at the term and you used it anywhere else in the world, it would mean what it means, civil rights.
Civil rights.
It's not any one group's owner. No one group owns them.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to everybody. That's the point.
Well, he was talking about the civil rights movement.
Right.
And talking about it as one specific thing. We need to take a break. Clint is jumping up and down trying to get my attention. I have my back turned toward him because I don't really care what he's saying. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here on Lambda Weekly with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Business owners, tell KNON's listeners about your business. You can put your business or event on KNON. KNON currently has space available to run announcements for you. Tell KNON's listeners about your goods, services, nightclub, concert, or event. Help keep the voice of the people on the air while putting your information on the air. Call now for more information at 214-828-9500, extension 227, or extension 233. For more information, go to KNON.org and click on the Run Spots on KNON page. It's a great way for your business to support community radio while letting more people know about you.
Howdy, y'all. This is Johnny Baker Jr. from Oak Cliff, Texas. The only type of Blue Monday I can stand is if Fats Domino is playing the piano. To fix this, start your week right. Listen to the Magic Time Warp Show with Ranger Rita, Action Annie, and Rockin' Robin. Soothe your Monday morning groove from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on KNON 89.3. We are the voice of the people.
Sonny Bryan's Catering presents the 14th annual KNON Blues Festival this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at Four David's Pub. Join us for the biggest blues event of the year, starring the Royal Rhythmaires, Bobby Patterson, Blues Boy Bo, the Aaron Burton Band, Andrew Jr. Boy Jones featuring Carrie LaPie, Pete Barbeck and Seventh Son, Bonafide Blues, the Deep Ellum Rhythm Kings, the Dallas Blues All-Stars featuring Hash Brown and Mike Morgan, the KNON Blues Review with Blue Lisa, Sonny Boy Mark, Greg A. Smith, Jeff Stone, and me, J-Mac. Big Charles Young, the Drew Elaine Band with special guest Sirloin, and the Super Kings. This is the big one. You never know who's going to show up as a special guest. Don't miss out on this huge blues show. Advance tickets are only $15 and are still available at KNON.org, Bill's Records in Dallas, and Forever Young in Grand Prairie. See you this weekend at the 14th annual KNON Blues Festival presented by Sonny Bryan's Catering.
This is William. I watch Lambda Weekly on YouTube.com, recorded live from KNON Studios.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laurent Landis, who has our entertainment report for us.
All right. Without my bed music.
Without your bed music.
Yeah.
Not bad music. He's saying, it's not bad music. Bed music, Laurent.
Got it.
The bedding underneath while you're talking.
Yes, got it. All right, Academy Award winner and my favorite actress of all time, Whoopi Goldberg, will be honored with this year's HRC Alley Equality Award in February in New York City. Whoopi has been a longtime outspoken ally for the LGBT community and one of the first celebrities to take part in New York's marriage equality video campaign back in 2011, and was also a guest speaker at the 1987 March on Washington. I saw that. I wasn't there, but did you go to that?
No. I went in 2000.
2000, okay.
I was there in 93.
93, okay.
You were still a child.
I was.
I'm not sure he was born yet.
I was in school, very much still in school. Not college, but in school. every year, the National Film Registry of Library of Congress designates 25 films for preservation. And among those chosen this year is the Oscar-winning 1994 documentary, The Times of Harvey Milk. I think that's a great honor, and it's a great film if you haven't seen it. Library of Congress James Billington said in a statement that the films are not chosen as necessarily the best films, but rather works that are enduring importance to the American culture and reflect the people who we are. Now, this year brings a total of all the films ever selected to 600. It's not a lot of films, so that's a big honor. I don't know if there's any other gay or lesbian films.
Any films that I've been in?
No, not yet.
Sadly. Worthwhile watching.
Not yet.
nothing there.
The much-talked-about film about Liberace, co-starring Michael Douglas and as the closeted singer and Matt Damon as his partner, will not be shown in the movie theaters. Why? The film studios rejected it for being too gay.
Oh, come on.
Yes. Director Steven Soderbergh says that he was astounded at the reaction he got from studio executives despite the going to every single studio in town and nobody would touch it. He says, this is after Brokeback. And I'm like, exactly. So the studio's losses turned into HBO's gain. They picked up the film that's going to be shown later this spring.
He described it as La Cage aux Folles on steroids. He said it is a very gay film.
It's very gay.
But La Cage aux Folles was a gay, very, very gay film.
It was.
And you know, back then when that was originally released, the French version I'm talking about.
Yeah, the French version.
It was a private, independent studio that released it, and basically right now the major movie theaters, and they're like three chains, one of them is Cinemark and Plano, and you know, they're very few theater chains. They only deal with the studios. They won't take independent films.
No, if you want to see indies, you got to go to Angelica.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah.
The Angelica or Mark Cuban's chain.
Magnolia.
The Magnolia and the Inwood are all part
right.
of it. There's just no such thing as independent studios releasing films anymore. It's
and
all
I
big
just
business.
Think there's no such thing as too gay.
Yeah, apparently.
This reminds me of a dear relative of mine who years ago tasted a homemade chocolate cookie and says, this is too chocolatey.
Mm-hmm.
And 20 people in the room were like, just a gasp. Mm-hmm. How can it be too chocolatey?
Who doesn't want to see Matt Damon making love with, is it Michael Douglas?
Michael Douglas.
Playing Liberace?
Yeah.
I'm just
Who's
astounded.
Who's not going to want to see that?
Well, apparently,
Michael Douglas is Liberace.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Well, apparently there's what they are calling a graphic love scene. I'm like, how can you be more graphic than what they showed in Brokeback?
But they could.
Well, then I guess you could.
It would be porn, but
it would be like soft porn, I guess. But I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really surprised about this.
Nope,
so it won't be in the movie theaters. And last, in addition to Jodie Foster's much talked about coming out speech at last week's Golden Globe Awards, now there's a rumor that seems to be growing legs that the father of Jodie's two sons is none other than Mel Gibson.
Wrong. I don't believe that.
I'm sure you've heard about this. Who was also a guest at the awards and part of her speech. Now, prior to this, it was widely suspected that the late casting director, Randy Stone, who was also gay, was Jodie's biological father to her two children.
That's what I believe.
But today, she's never publicly said who it is. Now, of course, she didn't even have to. But when I heard that, I thought that Mel Gibson was the father. I thought, okay, that makes sense.
No, I believe it's Randy Stone, and Randy Stone's mother actually has said that he went through a period of signing papers, mm-hmm. you know, and all of that, and confided to her that he was the father.
Oh, really?
I believe it's our station manager, Dave Chaos.
There's certainly a resemblance.
Yeah, Dave Chaos has fiery red hair.
He does. That's my take on it.
But wouldn't that... I don't know.
I don't think for a minute.
You don't think for a minute.
Just Mel Gibson. It's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it is either. But it would explain a lot.
Well, my take on it is, and following her career, is that she was friends with Randy Stone really all of her adult life.
Okay.
And, you know, became friends with Mel Gibson much later in life. And I think there was and in fact, the year that he died, he was only like 48, and he died of a cardiac disease, some sort of cardiac problem. And he knew he was going to die. And she was at the Oscars and had been designated to present the In Memoriam, which, of course, they do every year for all of the people in the industry who've passed away
that year.
And it was very emotional for her because she said, you know, my dearest friend in the entire world, Randy Stone, passed away only 2 weeks ago. And, you know, she kind of talked about how close she was with him. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, too, that, you know, he had said, promise me that you'll come out publicly before, for me. Do it for me and do it for your kids.
Oh, wow.
And she made that promise to him before he died. And, you know, so I really think it's more likely to be him,
right.
Especially in light of what his mother has told the press.
Right. Well, and again, that's one of those things she doesn't have to reveal.
No, she doesn't.
That's none of our business.
But to think it's Mel Gibson, I think, is just insane.
Well, I think for those in the gay community, and this is, you know, also going back to her speech a little bit, and I know you all talked about it to death last week. I think a lot of people, some of the comments that I read were really put off, by Mel Gibson sitting there at the table, and by her even being friends with him, and she continually defends him, though in my opinion, he's a flat-out bigot. Not just a homophobe, but a bigot. He's made some really, really nasty comments about a lot of different groups of people. So that has really confused a lot of people in our community. So when they're like, okay, he must be the father, if he's the father of their children, oh, well, no wonder she defends him. I think that's probably where that comes from.
And I think that's just insane.
But he's probably not. It's Dave Chaos.
I think so. You know, we were talking about before the break, we were talking about the inauguration that was held on Monday, and how significant it was that Obama referenced the gay community, referenced Stonewall, referenced Clint's brother and other people's brothers and sisters, but not us. But he did reference the gay community. And he was talking about how there won't be equality till everybody has equality. And 2 days later, the Rhode Island House passed a gay marriage bill, a same-sex marriage bill, or a marriage equality bill. It passed the House 51-19. What's interesting is what a couple of years ago were, ooh, let's count the votes. Are we going to get the votes? Are we going to, you know... 51-19. It moved to the Senate. Now the argument in the Senate has to do with not whether or not this is going to pass. This is going to pass. It has to do with whether or not there's going to be a very strong or just a usual religious exemption. And I think that's interesting. As far as I'm concerned, give them the strongest religious exemption they want. If a church...
Which I think is redundant anyway.
Yeah.
Of course it is. That's why.
Today, a Catholic priest does not have to agree to marry a couple for any reason.
For any reason.
You know, it's true in the Jewish faith. It's true in the Baptist church. It's true everywhere. They don't have to marry anybody they don't want to.
And that's never been part of our goal anyway.
And to go proactively specify it for the queers, I think, mm-hmm. is really insulting. Because you've never been forced.
Up at Temple Emmanuel here in Dallas, one of the largest synagogues in the country, the head rabbi at the synagogue, back in 1991 or two, he did a marriage ceremony for two lesbians. And after that, people kept asking him, would you do the wedding for our son who's marrying so-and-so who isn't Jewish? And he kept saying no. He'll only marry two. Well, yeah, marry those two damn lesbians. And he says, but they were both Jewish.
And if that's your criteria,
that's his criteria. A rabbi is charged with creating a Jewish household. I mean, if you want to get married, he has nothing against your getting married, but you're not creating a Jewish household. That's what a rabbi does.
Right.
And so you're looking for some other sort of wedding, not the one that I provide. But these two women were creating a Jewish household. They did what Jewish marriage is, and so it fulfilled what we do in our religion. You can't legislate that kind of stuff.
Exactly, and it's insulting to me, and I think a lot of people, that it has to be spelled out so that the straight people and the homophobes, the people who were against us having any sort of union, feel better. And that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it is.
Arguing about that, I think, is trivial,
mm-hmm.
and I think is a big point there.
Well,
the Speaker of the House in the Rhode Island House,
Gordon Fox
is gay.
Yes,
he's been openly gay for many years.
Yeah. And they're one of their two congresspeople, David Cicilline, is also openly gay. You know, Rhode Island is not the state that has a problem with it. People are having a problem with is, why was Rhode Island the last New England state to pass this rather than the first?
Well, one is their constitution and their all of their laws in the state of Rhode Island have been silent
mm-hmm.
on marriage at all. And so a lot of people said, well, by default, because of that situation,
it's legal.
It's legal to recognize same-sex marriages performed in other states.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and there has been an executive order from the governor.
Right.
That expresses that. Last year, they passed a civil union bill. Since it passed and was signed into law, 68 couples have obtained their civil union licenses. There's just been universal hatred of that civil union law in Rhode Island.
Now, It's useless.
Second class. It's not acceptable anymore. It was okay when Howard Dean was this left-wing extremist radical, and he proposed it in Vermont. It was okay back in the 90s. It's not okay anymore.
Which sort of parallels President Obama saying our gay brothers and sisters instead of mm-hmm. you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender
right.
brothers and sisters.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was a groundbreaking moment. So he passed
right.
the first. He signed the first civil unions law, and I think he's been, you know, for marriage equality along then and
mm-hmm.
since.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you got to start somewhere.
Sure. At the end of the year, you and I talked about, we kind of had a playful bet, what would be the next state this year to pass same-sex marriage? I said Rhode Island. You said Illinois.
Do you know, and it's interesting, the Illinois bill has gotten stuck in their legislature.
It has.
Which makes sense. You know, Illinois is famous for their politics. The difference is the mayor of Chicago was really campaigning hard for it,
mm-hmm.
the same way Bloomberg from New York City was campaigning for it in New York City. And the governor, not as strong as Cuomo at all, but also has said he would sign it there. Whereas in Rhode Island, the opposition side was being noisier.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like you're going to be right.
But you know,
that's not bad, though. We've been on the air together for 15 years. First time you're right.
Well, here's a surprising state that's moving towards marriage equality. Just one that caught me off guard. Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a bill introduced in Wyoming.
And here's why that's not surprising. They're one of the last to have even addressed it. They were the first state to allow women to vote. They were one of the first states with equality laws, racial equality laws. Wyoming has always very much been and the reason that women were allowed to vote, when Wyoming was accepted into the Union as a state, the only way they had enough voters or enough people in the state was if they counted women as voters. You have to have 60,000, and they didn't without the women.
Mm.
So they were forced to say.
It was a little self-serving.
Well, it was a little bit self-serving, but they were.
But they did the
right
thing
anyway.
To
say, "Oh God, you know, people laugh us out of the country that we're letting women vote." But they were the first state to allow women to vote.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I'll fact-check myself this week, but I believe that they shot down an attempt to place it in a ban on same-sex marriage in their constitution. Right. They shot it down. They didn't even entertain it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll check that. But I think that's true. But
they've had a lesbian legislator for a while. They were also the first state to elect a woman governor. Now, she was elected the first year, the same year as Ma Ferguson, but Ma Ferguson was succeeding her husband. This was first woman just elected on her own in the country.
I'm shocked that you know your Texas history so
well. Of course I know my Texas history.
I know, Mr. New York.
I know my Texas history as well as I know my New York history.
We're coming up with something really interesting with, I can't wait till we have Ken Upton back on. Mm-hmm.
He'll be on in first week of March, I believe.
There are 38 states who have bans in their constitutions that ban same-sex marriage. Mm-hmm. So we have 9 or 10 states.
We're coming up on the wall.
We're coming up on that wall where it's going to be either all states.
Not necessarily. Here's what Ohio is doing. Ohio is working on repealing. They have a big movement right now in several states. Yeah,
we're going to have to start repealing some of these, and I think that's going to be a bigger fight.
Well, we'll have to see what the Supreme Court rules, though.
That's true, too.
If they make a ruling in a way such that it is unconstitutional in the federally to have such statements in constitutions of states, that could be
we'll see. We're going to take a break. After the break, I want to talk a little bit about the first briefs were filed in the Proposition 8 case. Real interesting what the defendants are claiming as
actually
reasons.
It's not interesting.
That's what's so interesting about it. You go up before the Supreme Court and you sound like a schmuck.
Yes.
You're not going to win. You'll get a couple of votes from a couple of those, but we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
If you are the low-income parent or guardian of children in need of child care, there are programs available in the area that may be just right for you and your kids. Texas Workforce Commission offers solutions for families in need of assistance. Find them on the web at twc.state.tx.us. Click on Programs and Services in the blue bar at the bottom of the page to find out if you are eligible. 211 Texas, a program of the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, also offers child care provider referrals for families seeking subsidized child care. Contact them at 211texas.org or dial 211. If dialing 211 directly doesn't work on your telephone, you can call 877-541-7905.
This is Sonny Boy Mark, and I'd like to take a minute here to tell you about over 60 minutes of great blues listening available now on KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. This is some great stuff, folks. 15 tracks from Two Tones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, Johnny Red and the Roosters, the Chris Watson Band, the Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, David Millsap, Sir Loin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, and J.J. and the Detonators. The 1,000 copies we made are selling fast, and we won't reissue it. Get yours now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records and Rewind Music. The CD is available as a download at cdbaby.com. All proceeds benefit KNON, sponsored by Forever Young Records. Vinyl copies available at Forever Young Records only. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org. Your ears been bending for some blues? Well, feed them the real thing with Texas Blues Radio Volume 5.
This is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
And that was Candy Markham. She's going to be with us next week.
That's right. And then Aaron the following week.
So we're looking forward to Candy Markham as always. We love you, Candy. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. We're just talking about some of the stuff coming up after the inauguration. Obama talked about equality for his gay brothers and sisters, and he mentioned Stonewall. He had a gay poet. He had the Lesbian Gay Band Association play at his inauguration. It was very inclusive.
And lots of gay people, you shouldn't say gay, you should say LGBT people on the platform. Of course, the platform holds 1,600 people that were on the platform mm-hmm. with him. But there were lots of LGBT people there.
The New York Times had a wonderful article today. Patty, you have that in front of you, right?
Right, and it's a great piece. If you have an opportunity, go by there online and check it out. It's about the six new Congress members, and not, some of them new, some of them returning. We have six LGBT people in the House of Representatives in Washington now. And Jared Polis of Colorado is quoted in the article as making two really great points, I think, from our community's perspective. He observed that it's not too long ago when it was just Barney and Tammy. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me like that had gone on for a long time. We can point to Barney and Tammy. They're it. They're mm-hmm.
Tammy was elected in like 97, mm-hmm. I believe, and Barney Frank's been there 30 years.
Yeah, he came out publicly after he had been in office.
Yeah, but
Tammy's been out openly lesbian since she ran for city council
right.
in her town in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And now she's in the United States Senate. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was interesting because that's so true. It's so true. But I think the next comment was most interesting. He says, but with six of us in the House, it's harder to keep track. And it's always going to be assumed now that there are gays and lesbians in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that's really telling because I'm sure there has been a lot of, you know, are they here?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know.
Do you know which ones they are? I mean, with 450 members of the House, that's
435.
That's a lot of people to keep track of. They can't all know each other.
Not yet.
I mean, you get to know, and of course they know the leaders, but they don't know all of the new ones. So they're not going to know. Is there one in the room here? The story I love was they knocked on Mark Takano's door. Somebody from the Christian, doing a Christian prayer breakfast, asked him, noticed he had a wedding ring, if he and his wife was there with him, because they're doing a prayer breakfast. He said, oh, no, but my husband is. And she said, you know what? I have some other doors to knock on. I just moved on.
Of course.
But that's a perfect example of that they don't know everybody and they don't know who everybody is and what they represent.
It was so much easier to keep track when there were just two.
Yeah.
Where are they? You can, like, you know.
Well, now those two might be in the Senate because Kerry had his confirmation hearing yesterday. Is it continuing next week or was it over? He's in the middle of his confirmation hearings then, and he'll be moving out of his seat. Barney Frank has said he doesn't want to run for the office, but he'd like the appointment as the interim. And
until a special election.
Until the special election, which would be 3 or 4 months, that he would get to rabble-rouse in the Senate. Serve. Can you just imagine Barney Frank? And he'd be a perfect interim appointment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, who knows Congress better? You know, he's been there for 30 years. He was one of the ranking House members.
And very powerful too, mm-hmm. in terms of the House's power of the purse,
and always on one of the House banking committees or
appropriations.
So right now, if they're in the middle in the Senate, in the middle of appropriations and budgeting battles, he'd be a good one to be in there. He knows what he's doing.
And it would be so nostalgic to be able to say of the United States Senate now instead of the House.
It's just, Barney.
Just Barney and Tammy. Tammy.
Oh, and what's his name from South Carolina?
Well, we're talking about openly.
Okay.
LGBT people.
Okay. I wouldn't want to.
It's probably a much larger caucus if you took everybody who
is. It certainly is. So.
Prop 8
is coming up, and they just filed some briefs. And if you're going to file a brief in the Supreme Court, if you're going to take a case all the way to the Supreme Court, don't you think the arguments need to be, I don't know, intelligent?
Or just good. Just some good arguments.
Now, you can't bring up new arguments. You do have to, the Supreme Court isn't going to say, okay, I know you lost three other times already, and one was stronger than the next, but what's your argument now? You can't do that. You have to argue what you argued in the lower courts, because that's what you're appealing.
And that's part of the problem. They have to use the same argument.
That's the part of the problem for them.
Part of the problem for them. And for those who don't know what we're talking about, their argument is marriage should be between a man and a woman solely for the purpose of procreation.
Here's a quote from their brief. The age-old definition of marriage distinguishes between relationships of a man and a woman and all other types of relationships, including same-sex relationships. This distinction is rooted in a basic biological fact that goes to the heart of the state's interest in regulating marriage, the unique capacity of intimate relationships between men and women to create new life. And in reading that, I just realized one word that I think is a new argument. And it's not what's been argued before. But, okay, the age-old definition of marriage between a man and a woman and procreation. Mm-hmm. But in today's day and age, we know that older people who get married are not going to be able to procreate. We know that there are people who are infertile, and there are tests for that. So do we want to test people before they get married? Because the word that they
and
use...
And we know that there's heterosexual couples who just choose not to have
choose
children.
Not to. So do they deserve to be married? Because we have all kinds of birth control. But he said the state's interest in regulating marriage. Now, I've never thought of it as the state regulating marriage before. The state has always granted a marriage, issues a license to do something. They're not regulating marriage.
Well, they do in a way. They do in a way. There is a regulation that we're trying to fight so that we can get married. You can't marry an 8-year-old. You can't marry someone that's a certain distance and blood relation to you. I mean, they do regulate marriage. The state does regulate marriage.
But what they're really doing is...
You're not married unless you get a license from the state.
And that's true. But I think it's an interesting way to put it, because I never thought of... I'm going to the Dallas Records building in order to get my marriage regulated, in order for them to approve the regulations for my marriage.
Take it in for a tune-up. I mean,
right. Any more than they're regulating my driving a car. Well, you get a license. You do have to take a test. You get a license.
Right.
And then you can drive.
And that's probably why it shouldn't be called a marriage license in the first place.
Well, but it is a license.
But you don't have to get it renewed. Driver's license,
maybe
you have to get
should.
It renewed. Maybe,
no, but
you,
maybe
should.
You should.
Maybe you should.
You should. I definitely, before there are marriage licenses that must be renewed, I think you must have a parent license.
Well, that's one that's even more important.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
You must be trained.
If you get a license,
how many people are not prepared to be parents? I mean, you and Danny prepared for how many years before you had Gabrielle?
A good 2 to 3.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How many people? Honey, I'm 5 months pregnant. Right.
Right. You
know, look, Clint's sitting over there glaring at me. If you're in one of these regulated marriages, you don't have to prepare for anything. But I think that's an interesting argument, that nobody would say that the state is trying to regulate your marriage. That's not the way we think of it. You take out this license so that when you do have kids, both parents will be on the birth certificate, so that when you file your taxes, both of you can file a joint return, so that when you go to the bank, both of you can go on a bank account without having to put down what's the relationship here and figure out what the relationship is, especially if you're applying for a mortgage and you have to show that you both have a vested interest in this house. That you're not just somebody who's co-signing the loan, that two of you are going to be living there. It's assumed if you're married, even if you're not going to both be living there, that you will both be living there. So that's why a license is issued. It's not to regulate your marriage. So if they're going to argue regulating marriage...
It's a passbook. It gives you, entitles you to this passbook that helps you navigate life together in ways that single people cannot. And that's really all it is.
And you're buying an entitlement. You are buying an entitlement. You're not going to the state to make sure that your marriage is regulated properly. So I think using these words, it just shows how hateful these people are. It shows how selfish they are and how much they're trying to prove I'm better than you are.
Well, and it's also I think a big giant case of stupid.
Oh. You know, the whole case was.
Because if you look back on the history that's being presented to the Supreme Court in terms of original trial testimony and all of that, they just look like buffoons, absolute buffoons.
Most famous line from the trial?
I read it on the internet.
Yeah. The absolute expert on the reason for marriage to be between a man and a woman, how do you know this? I read it on the internet. That is absolute classic, and the Supreme Court...
in jurisprudence... training and education forever,
right.
Because it was such a stupid line from a witness on a stand, an expert witness. I read it on the internet.
I think the arguments are set for March 26 or something like
which
that.
Which is my birthday.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, let's hope that's good luck.
Yes.
Hope that's good luck. And they have, the Supreme Court have already has already set forth the arguments that they want. I'm sorry, the questions they want answered. Mm-hmm. And I'm not repeating this verbatim, but one of the questions is, does the Constitution prevent the state of California from limiting marriage to one man and one woman? That can go, that's kind of interesting how you can answer that. It doesn't, but it doesn't stop you from saying that same-sex couples can get married also. The other question they set forth was, does the appellants in this case have standing? Because it's not the state of California who's suing.
We talked about that.
Mm-hmm. State of California that said, you know, we're not going to defend it.
Protectmarriage.com.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago about how, and I had referenced this woman who's the Supreme Court watcher for the New York Times, talking about the whole issue of standing.
Mm-hmm.
That it's been a riling issue among the justices for decades, mm-hmm. and even recently, and that Roberts slated those two cases because he wants to address the issue of standing.
So it could be thrown out on standing.
It could be.
Mm-hmm. Which would be fine with me.
Well, and thrown out
means that whatever happened in the Ninth Circuit of Court of Appeals would stand.
Would stand, and California would immediately have same-sex marriage.
Exactly.
And I think it's so ironic here that we're dealing with California because they've had this really topsy-turvy history in terms of marriage. Twice, the legislature, the elected, you know, voice of the people through their elected officials in California, twice they voted for full marriage equality and sent a bill to the governor's office, who twice vetoed it, which was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been through every gyration of court ruling. It's been through their own Supreme Court, and now it's been through their federal court system, and it's made it to the Supreme Court. And of all places, you know, we've got 18,000 couples that were in this tiny little 5 or 6 month window mm-hmm. that are married in California and recognized, and the world hasn't fallen apart. And now we're just going through these exercises because, you know what? There's going to be marriage equality in California one way or the other.
Right, eventually.
There is marriage equality in California.
And what I like is that Iowa comes out as the equality state, not California.
Yeah.
Well, except on same-sex marriage, not on gender. Really, really angry with Iowa.
Mm-hmm. They'll get there. They'll get there.
Before we end the show, I do want to make an announcement. It says, read this Saturday and Sunday. I think I wasn't supposed to read the part that said, read this Saturday and Sunday.
Of course you did.
Sonny Bryan's Catering presents the 14th Annual KNON Blues Festival this Saturday, today, and Sunday, January 27th, at Poor David's Pub, 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. Tickets at KNON.org. Bill's Records and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. Save $5 by getting your tickets now before you go. Tickets $5 more at the door. Sonny Bryan's will be selling barbecue to raise money for KNON. Door opens at 3 p.m. each day, so you have 3 hours to get down to. Are you going?
No, I have a meeting.
Oh, okay. For more information and band times, go to KNON.org. 2 days of barbecue and blues with the Royal Rhythmaires, Bobby Patterson, Andrew Jr., Boy Jones featuring Kerry Leppe, Boy Blues Bo, the KNON Blues Review with KNON DJs J-Mac, Greg Smith, Lisa, Blue Lisa, Sonny Boy Mark, and special guest Jeff Stone. Dallas Blues All-Stars, you would think the people that I know, I would be able to read their names, right? Dallas Blues All-Stars with Hash Brown and Mike Morgan, the Aaron Burton Band, Pete Barbeck and the Seventh Son, Bonafide Blues, Deep Ellum Rhythm Kings, Big Charlie Young, the Drew Allen Band, the Super Kings. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful. The Blues Fest is always one of the best events that KNON puts on. So it's today and tomorrow, 3 p.m., Poor David's Pub. And that brings us to the end of another Lambda Weekly. Next week we have Candy Markham. It starts Pledge Drive. So
join us.
Join us. Bring your checkbooks. Bring your credit cards. Be ready to call in. Doc will be on the phone. Clint will be on the phone. Annie will be on the phone.
Get some awesome,
plenty of phones.
Some awesome wear and good stuff.
Yeah, Patty is wearing one of the shirts that she likes the best. Did
I
you show
too.
That to Dave that that's your favorite shirt?
I'm going to.
Because need to get that one made again. That one was popular. We'll be back next week with more Lambda Weekly. See you then.